was just thinking a few moments ago as I had read this morning on one of the news reports that only 38% Gallup poll said 38% of Americans, only 38% are proud to be an American. When I read that, my heart was troubled to think that all over this world, there are men and women who have fought for the price of freedom so that you and I can have the present freedoms that we have. What a staggering figure. This morning, as we come to this time of our message for today found in the book of Psalm, chapter 85, I want to speak on the subject, America, a nation that is highly blessed. Now, music is a great, important part, not only in America today, but music was a vital part during the days of the Old Testament. In fact, the Jewish people would gather from where they were to come to the city of Jerusalem, and they would sing great songs in celebration of whatever the particular holiday was. Sometimes it was national in nature. Sometimes they were celebrating their freedom, and they were celebrating that they were the people of God. In the Bible, the Psalms were the hymns of the Jewish people. And when you read the book of Psalms, you're reading many of the hymns that they would sing along the way. I was interested in something about young people this morning. If I were to ask the congregation today, and I doubt that any of us probably could, maybe a few of us, but there were 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, and if you were asked to name five of those, could you do that? I found it very interesting that John Witherspoon, back in 1791, he was from New Jersey, but he put together the big Bible, the family Bible, because John Witherspoon believed that families should gather and that they should study the Bible together. You know, when you and I look around at America, when we look around and we see so many people wanting to throw Christianity out the window, throw the Bible out the window, let me tell you, when those 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence got together, this nation, contrary to those that want to discount the fact, this nation was built on Christianity. It was built on the Judeo-Christian principles. And John Witherspoon, when he realized that the family needed a family Bible to gather around and to talk about God and the great creator of heaven and earth. And then Francis Hopkinson, he went to the Psalms and he put together a hymn book of David's Psalms in the Bible. And one of those songs, choir, I thought as you were singing, now, you know, we Baptists don't really like to stand much, and, you know, I loved it. We were up and down this morning. It reminded me of being in a Catholic church. When you're up and you're down, and you're up and you're down, you don't know when to stand, you don't know when to sit. But I was thinking about Francis Hopkinson. He, one of those songs in of David's that he put in that hymn book for the Jewish people, just one song was 32 pages long. 32 pages long, just one song. Well, in our text for this morning, in Psalm 85, it's one of the particular psalms. It has great national meaning, and what I want to speak about today is America, and not only what God was doing in this Psalm 85 for the nation of Israel, but what God may be doing in the nation of America this morning. In the studying this psalm, there are scholars that, the Bible scholars that say that this particular psalm, Psalm 85, was sung by two choirs and a soloist. The first stanza would be sung by the choir. It would be a call to celebrate. The second stanza would be done by a second choir, and it would be it was a call to investigate. And then the third stanza would be sung by the soloist, and it was a call to anticipate what God was going to do in the future of these people. So with all of that in mind, I want to speak about a nation, America, a nation highly blessed. First of all, we see a time to celebrate. A time to celebrate. There will be people everywhere, all over America, that will be celebrating the 4th of July tomorrow in all kinds of ways. But in Psalm chapter 85, verse 1, the psalmist said, Lord, you've been favorable to your land. Now, in the first three verses of this Psalm 85, you will notice six times the psalmist says, you have. Now, what he's doing here, he's celebrating the wonderful blessings of God upon those people. Now, I'm confident that you and I this morning will celebrate the wonderful blessings of God because of the freedom that we've had in America throughout the years. And America's a greatly blessed nation. And I want you to know there are people all over the world this morning that would love to have the freedoms that you and I have. Now, some of those things that we are grateful for, God's blessing on this nation politically. You and I live in the land of the free, the home of the brave. We have freedom, and we should thank God every day for those political servants that are honest, that are God-fearing, and have the best welfare of this nation in mind. So, we are blessed because we celebrate this nation politically. But secondly, we're a democratic republic, meaning that we have the opportunity to vote and the freedom to express ourselves. We can vote people out of office that we don't think are appropriate to be there. We can take our stand on moral and spiritual and political issues. So America is a democratic republic. We ought to be grateful for that this morning. We are also blessed as a nation because we have the freedom to worship our religion as we please. You and I can assemble this morning without any fear of reprisal. We can worship God according to the dictates of our hearts. And in this land, we have the opportunity to express our beliefs to other people and to help them see why we believe in the God of heaven and earth and why we believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Let me tell you, there are many this morning that are having to hide their faith. Many this morning all over the world that are in underground churches, so to speak, because they can't openly express their faith. Well, we as a nation, we're also blessed materially because of all of the wonderful natural resources that we have in America. It's allowed us the privilege. It's allowed us the opportunity to be the most charitable nation in all of the world. Throughout the world, God has blessed America. We sing, God bless America, our home, sweet home. We've been given so much in this nation, but this nation has also been a great benefactor to the world out there through all kinds of charitable organizations and through all kinds of ways that we have helped other nations throughout the world. America has also offered those that come to America the choice of free enterprise. You see, we are a capitalist nation. It has blessed many people throughout the world that opportunities are here and they come and they work hard and they prosper. And our nation, America, operates in the fact that we celebrate this morning all of these wonderful blessings that we have. But may I remind you and me here this morning that many of these things could be taken away from us. Jesus said that a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. But this morning, I thank God for the material blessings that he has allowed this nation to have. God has also blessed America militarily speaking in this text in Psalm 85. The children of Israel, they were coming back from hundreds of years of captivity. And this morning, I was thinking as the choir was singing, I was thinking we've been so privileged to live in unconquered soil here in America for these 200 plus years. And I thank God for all of the veterans, for all of the military of America, the men and the women who presently serve, for those who have given the ultimate sacrifice of giving their life and shedding their blood, young people, and lest we should ever forget men and women who have died for the cause of freedom so you and I can have the freedoms that we have today. We're the strongest nation on the face of the earth, and I'm grateful this morning to be a proud, waving American. So God has blessed America militarily. In this 85th Psalm, the psalmist is saying that we are celebrating God's blessings upon us spiritually. That's one of the greatest blessings of all, to be spiritually free, to have the forgiveness of God. That word forgive really means to take away, and the background of the word here is the ceremony in the Old Testament where they would have the scapegoat. And in that Old Testament time, the priest would come to the scapegoat and he would lay his hands on that goat and he would be confessing all of the sins of the people to be laying on that scapegoat. And then they would take that goat out into the wilderness and they would let that goat loose, and it symbolized that the people's sins had been put away. Now, when Jesus Christ came, the Bible says he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And when Jesus died that day on Calvary and shed his blood for the remission of our sins, he bore in his own body our sins on Calvary's tree. You and I can really be free from the forgiveness of our sins made possible through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. The only way to really be free, to be forgiven of our sins, is we're never free until we are free in Jesus Christ. That's why John said in John chapter 8, verse 36, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you free in America? And the answer is absolutely yes. Are you free in Christ Jesus this morning? And the answer is yes. If you're not, you can be by receiving Christ into your heart and life. So as this choir would get together, they would sing. It was a time to celebrate. Today is a time that we celebrate these wonderful things that God has so blessed America with. Secondly, this morning, the other choir would sing the second stanza, and it would be a time to investigate. And so we see in verses 4 and 5 of our text, we see the anger of God. God becomes angry here. Notice in verse 4 and 5, "Restore us, O God, of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations?" You see, young people, this is a call to investigate. Why was God angry? Why was God angry with the people? Why was God angry with the land? You see, the Bible speaks about the wrath of God, and the wrath of God is God's settled hostility against sin. There are times and there are situations when anger is called for. When you and I see many of the injustices in the world, we see the atrocities and we see all of the inequities which causes anger in people's lives. There's a healthy place for anger. And so in this psalm, here's God. He's angry. God is disturbed. He sees sin. He sees how it damages us. And God loves people more than anything. God loves America. There are things in America that God is not proud of. There are things in America that disturbs God this morning. I can assure you of that. I can assure you that as God looks down upon this world that he created, I am sure that there are many, many days that God looks at the nation and weeps over the things that disturb him. as we look at American history in particular, how many of us have read the Declaration of Independence lately? How many of us have read the Constitution? Do we really know what it's all about? I mean, you know, for those that want to discount the Bible, for those that want to throw God out of everything, if they would go back to those original books when this nation was founded, if they would go back and they would read and they would study and they would investigate, let me tell you, they could see why you and I celebrate our Christian principles. Kids need to be taught. Kids need to be reminded of these original documents and what they mean. These young people will be the principles and the truths upon which your future days in America has been founded. In the Declaration of Independence, the second paragraph says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Notice in that paragraph, you have certain basic affirmations made. First of all, we hold these truths to be self-evident. Let me tell you, when they framed that, when the framers framed that, they certainly had God in mind. They certainly realized that they were leaving across the pond to come to a place where they could worship without being told how they had to worship. Secondly, you find in that paragraph recognition that you and I are created beings. We're created by a divine creator God. Where did that come from? Look at Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You see, the other thing that we find here in this Psalm 85 text is the recognition of moral absolutes, that all men are endowed with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's the way America was founded. That's the basic premise of America today. I want you to just go with me for just a few short minutes through American history. In the year of 1859, the whole world changed. Why did it change, young people? Charles Darwin published his book, The Origin of the Species. And in that book, he basically said that all created beings owe their existence to the process of evolution, that all higher forms of life derive their existence from lower forms of life through a process of natural selection. This became known as the theory of evolution, or the origin of the species. It was an earth-shaking change in the way people began to think in this world. Up until then, all the scientists basically virtually were creationists. All of them believed in the Creator God. But the theory of evolution came along and it changed the way people thought about their own existence. And you can see today how that has made such a great impact, how that's made such a great influence on how people view truth and how people view things today. Karl Marx took those basic principles of evolution, and let me tell you, he carried them into politics. Sigmund Freud carried them into psychology. John Dewey carried them into the field of education. And it became the dominant position of many in our world that men are not created by a creator, that they are not distinct beings created by the loving hand of a creator, but basically that man is just a higher form of the animals. And then in the later part of the century, the first part of the 1900s, liberalism came along, started in Europe, moved across the pond over here into America. Liberalism took the view that there was no such thing as moral truth. So the Bible began to be called into question. They said the Bible is not the Word of God. They said the Bible is not the literal truth. And so with those thoughts, they said there's no such thing as absolute truth. And so absolute truth then is replaced. So the Bible just to them became a book of that was composed by people. It had no divine inspiration beyond what the writers of Shakespeare or any other writers would have. So now what happened in America is that we took the position that there's no creator God and we're just a higher form of animals out there in life. The authority of God is taken out of our thinking, and then after World War II, we went on to just live it up, and we moved into the sexual revolution in the 1960s. Now we've come to a point in America today where relativism has become the dominating theme in American society. Young people, relativism says this: there's no absolute truth. Truth is just relative. No absolute rights, no absolute wrongs. If it's right for you, it's right for you. If it's wrong for you, it's wrong for you. So in other words, truth then becomes whatever you want truth to be. You see, it's all dependent upon what you think about. No final authority in God, no creator to whom you're accountable. You just become your own God. You become your own authority. No such thing as moral absolutes, no standard by which to judge morality. And so having said all of that, the question is this: what's happening in America this morning? You see, if you throw out God's word, thus saith the Lord, then all you have is what we call an anthropocentric or a human-centered worldview where anything goes, everything goes, there are no rights, there are no wrongs. It's just whatever you want to do. But for those who are trying to live a godly Christian life, let me tell you, we have a theocentric worldview. Theo means God. Centric is centered. God-centered view today. And let me tell you, there's a great difference between a humanistic, liberalistic worldview that throws out God and a worldview that says God is in control of this world. You see, when wrong becomes right and right becomes wrong, a nation begins to head for decline. And with all of the things that are happening in America this morning, I want you to know that God is looking from a distance. And I know as God looks down upon this world, I know that He realizes that He came to seek, and to save that which was lost. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin, but the light of the world is Jesus. Let me tell you who's the answer for this morning for America, but not only for America, but for all of the nations of this world today. Jesus is the only answer. And so in Psalm 85, as the people came to a time of celebration, they came also to a time of investigation, and they begin to investigate and look around and to see all that God had done for them. But that leads me third and finally to this. It's a time of anticipation. What do you and I anticipate in the days for America? When I saw that statistic this morning by Gallup, my heart was saddened. Alex, to you and the youth, Jenny, to you and the children's department, Vanessa, to you and the nursery. I read just this past week where one out of seven youth ministers, children's ministers, only one out of seven have a biblical worldview. What can we expect in the days to come? What can we expect out of America? God forbid and perish the thought that we would ever head in the direction like the Roman Empire did. They imploded from within because of all of the immoral debauchery and all of the things that were going on. They collapsed. I pray that America's not going to become a second-class nation in the nations of the world. I pray that America will not lose its moral strength and its moral fiber. I pray that America will turn back to the roots and the foundation of the framers of what they believed and how they built this nation and what they built this nation on. Let me tell you this morning in verse 6 of our text, notice what the people ask here. Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? You see, folks, this morning, God wants to revive us. He wants to revive us. But 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Let me tell you, I love when the people of God turn to God and pray for showers of blessings of revival to fall upon us. I love the words to the great old hymn, revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.